With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, welcome to The Brew. Joining me, Jay Motti, and Stephen Howson this week is none other than 1999 treble winner Henning Berg. If you are enjoying these podcasts, which I'm sure you are, make sure you leave us a five-star review. Have a listen.
What are you up to?
Nothing much. It's been catching some rays, as you may have noticed.
All right.
I've gone a little bit darker, you're not seeing. Nice and sunny out there.
Didn't notice.
Sunny Manchester.
Who's your mate?
Have you not met? You met Henning Berg, treble winner. Henning Berg.
Trouble winner.
Trouble winner, Henning Berg.
You're right.
You got Steve.
Good, yeah.
Henning,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
He's nice not to be here. He's just fucking sitting there saying nothing.
He's very quiet. It's a pleasure to have you on the channel. And it was nice to meet you as well. I met you earlier on and we've had a good chat. I've got one question for you, which is the question I ask a lot of our guests is, how have you ended up on this podcast? How did you know, Steve? How's this happened?
It's through a friend of mine.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's been working with Steve, I think, so, yes.
So put you guys together. And you've had a good chinwag, haven't you, for a while?
Been about 2 hours, yeah.
I hope you've still got something left to say to each other, because you've been having a chat for about 2 hours.
I think we've said all we need to say anyway.
Is
so
that it then? Right,
just
okay.
Fucking toss it off and call it a day, right?
Yeah, that's the end of that. Loads of people in the chat are very excited. So if you've got any questions for Henning Berg or Jay Motti and Stephen Howson, I doubt you've got any for us. Throw them in the conversation. We've already had a couple of people throwing in questions, so we'll get to them in a little while.
Obviously, want to talk to Henning about winning a treble at Manchester United. Hell of an achievement.
Big achievement.
It's not a top achievement. It's
almost.
No, I want to know, does Henning know?
Well, I've heard that it's not the biggest achievement.
No, it's not.
No, I think it was the 1991, actually.
Yeah.
United beat Barcelona, I think.
Cruyff Barcelona, but yeah.
Cruyff Barcelona, yeah.
See, even a treble winner knows.
Knows his place. The boys that won in 91, and then us rubble, that won everything.
Yeah. Sparky scored 2 goals. So
there you go.
There you go, you see.
Oh, and one of the questions that we did have is...
Can't argue with that.
Can we link Henning Berg to the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final? Honestly, you want to talk about 6 degrees of separation, I'll give you one. Play with Mark Hughes.
Played it, and you want to tell us a little bit about that, because you mentioned it briefly before. You played with him at Blackburn and won the League Cup, was it?
Yes, we beat Tottenham in the final, and Mark Hughes is not a central midfield player,
yeah,
but he played central midfield in that game.
I remember him going to centre mid.
What was that like? What type of a midfielder was he? Was he like getting stuck in? Or?
It was very difficult to be a central defender behind him.
But how many times a day did he mention the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup?
Yeah, every day.
Did he bring the medal in?
Every
did
day.
He show you the medal and say,
every
well,
day. Yes.
Lads?
First thing he did when he...
if you work hard, this is what you can achieve.
Yeah. One day you can win, yeah. And now defunct. You're a third-tier European Cup competition.
Loads of people... absolutely chuffed to bits that you're on the channel. What a legend. A few people saying that, The Cat. Tim Forbes, Henning Berg, one of my favourite boys. Like Tim, loads of people just saying Henning Berg, can't believe Henning Berg's here. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about if we can go back to the start, not to be all boring, but coming to Manchester United, because someone was saying that, or we read somewhere, that Fergie tried to sign you earlier than when you arrived, and then you obviously came a little bit later. Well, tell us a little bit about that. What happened there?
Yes, I think United were at pre-season training camp in Norway in, this is a very long time ago, 1988. I was with the Norwegian team. We played them in the friendly. No, it goes even further back. The year before, I played in a youth tournament in Minneapolis in the States. Brian King was the chief scout of, was the scout of United. Oh. He recommended me to United. So the year after, when United came to Norway to play Vålerenga in the preseason friendly, I was with Vålerenga. And then Fergie said, you must play in these games so I can look at you. But I didn't play. I was on the bench. And then he said, you can come over. I trained with them for, 2 weeks, 10 days. At that time, you needed a work permit to be able to work here, to come. And you needed games for the national team. I did not have the full national games then, so I could not come. But that was the first time. So I stayed there for a week or 10 days. And then a few years later, I went to Blackburn. And then we played against United. And then I came to United.
What was that like for you as a young...
Just totally skipping over the fact he won a Premier League United.
Let's talk about that, don't we, Pat? What was that like for you as a youngster, though, going to United and then being told, not because of your footballing ability, but because of paperwork, basically, you can't join them? Was that tough, or was you okay with
it? No, I was okay. I was not good enough anyway at that time. No, seriously. Yeah. I trained with them, and I trained with the first team maybe once or twice. I trained with the reserves because I think I was 18. But it was better for me to play in the top league in Norway than to be in the reserve team United. So for me, it was just a nice experience to be there.
A lot of players forget it's all about getting those minutes. It's all about getting that experience.
Yeah.
And there's no point sitting on a bench and just never playing for 4 years when you can be playing at any level. If you're playing the highest level you can play at, no matter where it is, no matter what the level is better than not playing. Youth football's crap. You got to play open age. I think that's what you develop.
Did you always want to play for United? Was that an ambition of yours? I know.
No, it was too much to have ambition for me. I was from Norway. I was a fan of United when I was younger. Yeah. My brother was with Liverpool, so we argue every Saturday.
Really?
I was watching Steve Coppell and Louis McCarty and Gary Bailey and these players playing. Yeah. We were watching every Saturday in Norway. So I was a fan of the team, but you never think that you will play for them.
Well, we still hope one day we might get a call up. Never say never, Henning. Yeah, we've not given
up.
Really,
have we? Not really.
You never know. Things might go out.
Honestly, I've seen some performances this year that I'm debating just keeping my boots in the car, you know what I mean? Just on the off chance.
Obviously, when you finally get the move to United, what was that like for you? Because I think it was quite at the time as well, a big money move for a defender especially.
It was a lot of money, but... I don't know. I played in the Premier League for a few years. We won the league with Blackburn.
We don't need to go into that.
No. I came to a better team, better players. The competition for places in the team were much higher. That was more the difficulty for me than the transfer fee or whatever. But it was a fantastic group. Top manager. I had a very good one with Dalglish in Blackburn. But Fergie, of course, he was the best.
Have you got a Roy Keane story? Because everyone's got a Roy Keane story.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Maybe not the one that you like, but for when I was at United, he was top. He was a leader on the pitch. He was a leader off it. He was maybe one of our best players, and he dragged everybody with him. He was brilliant when I was there.
You mentioned earlier upstairs, talking about you found playing Premier League games after you'd adapted at United easy, because of how hard training sessions were?
I wouldn't say easy, because my level was not the highest, so I needed to be at my very, very best for me to play. And that was difficult, to be at your top every time you play. But for sure, the training sessions were at a level that was higher than the Premier League, normal Premier League level. So we got into the games, and the game was slower in the matches than it was in the training, because of the quality of our teammates when we played against each other in training.
It's class. Yeah.
Who was your... I think I might know the answer, but who was your favourite centre-back partner to play alongside? If you had to pick one. If you can, tell us one.
No, I've been very lucky. I've had so many good ones.
I think you're going to be surprised.
Really?
I think so.
Do you know the answer to this?
Is it the one you said earlier?
I played mostly with Ronnie Johnson.
Yeah.
And we did... We complemented each other very well. It was good to play with Pallister, but I didn't play with him so much. Yap Stam a little bit more. Yap was top. And you have an old Norwegian Rune Bratseth, who was won the league in Germany with Werder Bremen. I played with him in the national team as well. Top player, one of the best in Europe. But I think I have to go for Ronnie or Yap.
Yeah, upstairs we were talking a lot about Gary Pallister and the qualities of Pallister.
I mean, when you're saying these underrated names, and I'm just thinking, yourself, Ronnie Johnson, Yap Stam, three seasons, three titles with Yap Stam. I always love watching him as well. Gary Pallister, it's just one amazing defender after another, and all good on the ball as well.
I was not so good on the ball.
You're being modest there.
No, but Pallister was underrated with the ball. His first touch and his short passes was top. Okay, he couldn't switch it like Koeman could, but...
That's
hardly an insult.
Oh, sorry. I've got a 75-yard ping in my locker.
One of the greatest passes of all time.
No luck.
But he was a good... Very good with the ball.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier as well, one of your first training sessions, you went and spoke to Sir Alex and said, not feeling this defender on the halfway line like our kid.
Yeah.
It was not the first sessions, but of course, for sure, I was a little bit into tactics as well. And my education as a footballer came from more zonal defense and together working with the back four and playing together a little bit more. And United was high pressing, high dominating and playing more man for man. And it was not into my qualities to do this. It was not the best for me, and I asked him, shall we continue with this? And of course, I was told yes, we will do. So we just have to do it.
I like the fact you asked him. Very polite. Yeah, shall we continue this? And he's like, okay. Yeah.
I find it really interesting. You talk about United being a high pressing team. We play on the halfway line. People act like this was only invented 3 years ago. This has been a style of play that we've seen for 25, 30 years, isn't it?
I think so. The teams that used to win, Liverpool in the old days as well, they didn't sit back and defend their own box. I think the game now is much more tactical than it was even when I played 20 years ago. But there is still... football is not... what we are doing now is not something that has never been done before. And with United, when I came, the biggest difference from a playing point of view was that there was so much more space behind me, and I have to sprint from the halfway to the box to get the ball before the striker. While when I was at Blackburn with Norway, we were more a little bit deeper to defend and can read and intercept and play a little bit different.
I think that's such a fascinating thing, which I'm sure we'll get into when we start talking about the current United.
Are we going to do that? Do we have to?
I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Right.
But you know, I think that's a fascinating topic for us to get into. Heading, you obviously got unfortunately injured on the running to that famous treble winning season, but the unbeaten run started at Christmas, didn't it? And you was a massive part of that run all the way through to the end of the season.
It coincided with my best period at United because I did not play every game. I was in and out of the team, and I had periods where I was out for a while. But what I'm most happy with is that I got back into the team early January, and I played most of the games until I got injured in the semi-final against Juventus. So it was a good time to play. It was a good feeling. It was not nice to be 1 month out and missing all these big games in the end. I would not have played all of them, but I would have played a few. And with the suspensions we had in the Champions League finals, it would have been a chance to play there as well. But No, I cannot complain. I'm really happy with the time and been able to play with these players and to have the manager that we had and the coaches that we had. It was something special.
What was the mood like? And was there a feeling of momentum from that January kind of onwards? Was it after the Liverpool game?
As a fan, the Liverpool game for me at that time felt like almost like a catalyst, something special's going on here. You know, with the late goal, two late goals. And obviously, only getting the winner in the FA Cup, you thought, okay, something's happening here, which could be.
Was there ever think that there was something? I know there's I've seen all the documentaries where the players say they almost refused to talk about the treble or the T word. But was there a bit of an inkling that we could probably take anybody on?
It started to get momentum at that time after the Liverpool game when we scored in the end there because...
It's going to undo my belt.
I know. Loves hearing about this.
No, but seriously, that is when we started. The momentum started to believe. But remember the year before, we finished second to Arsenal. So it's not like you think we will win the league easily. And we know the games we played, they were all tough games, but we won the even games, we won them. We didn't go win in the end 5-6-0 for games. It was close games all the time. Won the league against Tottenham. 2-1 was it in the very end, last game of the season.
Yeah, York.
And you had the semi-final in the FA Cup with 10 men, Ryan Giggs running through and scoring goals. It's not something you do every day, every week, every year. It's something special. And I do feel that...
Jay's favourite player as well, saving a penalty in that game.
Thank you,
yes.
Steve.
Yeah. Yes. in the last minute.
One thing that I liked about that, you mentioned it there, was all the games. It wasn't just us or United just dominating games and just, like you say, battering teams. Every game felt like you're on the edge of your seat.
Oh, mate,
back and forth. Every
Turin
single
semi-final.
Game. Yeah, Juventus.
But it was also... a great use of the full squad.
Yeah,
everybody was involved. More or less, all the players played,
everybody
contributed. Everybody trusted each other. Everybody knew that the one that the manager picked was good enough to play.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's a hard balance, isn't it? I think Fergie's only got that right that once as well.
I mean, you look at it, like you say, you mentioned the final there. Jesper Blomqvist obviously started the final. We didn't have Keane, we didn't have Scholes, we didn't have yourself.
Blomqvist was class that season because Giggs was not available.
I think he had played 41 games, Blomqvist, that season. People forget that. People say, oh, no, he played a lot of games. That's a full season's worth.
Oh, he earned that medal.
Yeah.
Medals.
How did you cope, Henning, with not being in that final? Because the reason I ask is I remember as well in the parade seeing Roy Keane looking pretty down. And I read his book and he said that, you know, he just didn't feel part of it and he felt a little bit down because he missed the final, obviously, through the suspension. Were you okay with it? Were you able to cope as okay as you can be with missing a game of that magnitude?
I think I was coping a little bit better because I've been out for 3 or 4 weeks already with the injury. So I prepared myself. I was devastated when I got injured, when I knew how injured I was and I knew I would miss these games. I was trying to come back to be ready before the end of the season. I could not do. And that, I was really down. But by the time we got to the final, I had time to accept it. He just got suspended and booked just before, so he missed it from a booking, not from an injury that was a little bit longer. So maybe it was easier for me to do. And to be honest, he was the captain. He would have for sure played, and he played most of the games. And he was the leader of the team, so maybe he felt it a little bit more than me that was not one of the leaders.
There's loads of questions. I'll get into some of them. Santa Notch was asking in the chat about toughest opponents. Were Arsenal one of the toughest opponents you faced? I think he put. I've missed the actual question, but it was around that.
The way they played, they were difficult to handle with the offensive players, with Pires and Jungberg and Thierry Henry and Bergkamp. They had a level that not too many team had. And they play quick with Vieira in midfield. And they were a strong team, physical team as well. And there was all about this big rivalry at that time. So they could counterattack. They had speed with Overmars as well. So when he was there, so it was, one of the difficulty teams.
Does that spur you on having a rival like that? Is that anything? Because a lot has been made of it since. And you look at from 96 to 2004, only United and Arsenal won the league. And now people are talking about Liverpool and City now. But I remember those games and the back and forth and... We won the treble, they won a double. Is that in your mind at all? Is that something that spurs you on having a rival like that, or is it just a case of no matter who you're facing, you're going to try your best?
You try your best,
yeah.
But of course the games are different, and there is an added level to these games and importance, mainly mentality, because with so many games during the season, this league is not going to be decided with every game against them.
Yeah.
But, of course, the mentality and who's the best and how you go against your biggest rival is important. So it's good to have this rivalry. And, okay, we had it with Arsenal, but you know, United, Liverpool, United, Leeds.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Just a bit.
We had a bit of one with Juventus as well at the time, to be honest. We kept drawing them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Where did you watch the final? Was you with Keenan's goals?
I was in the stand, yeah.
Talk me through that, watching those last 3 minutes.
It was very strange because the chances that Bayern Munich had to score.
Oh, we were shit.
No, okay. We had to go for it because we were 1-0 down and you have to gamble. And I think that is one of the strengths of the manager. He was not afraid to gamble or to make risks and to have players to come on and change the game. And Ollie and Teddy came on. Teddy scored one. Had assist for the second, only scored the second, and that was it. But what I remember most from that game is that when we drew to 1-1 with a few minutes left, United did not sit back. United tried to take advantage of the disappointment from Bayern Munich. And I remember Ole getting the ball on the left on the left wing.
Yeah, he won the corner.
Yeah, but he didn't. We would not have won the corner if he had stood on the ball, time wasting, getting into extra time, or keeping the ball.
Yeah.
He went forward, he went trying to attack, tried to dribble, trying to get dribble, got the corner, scored a goal.
It almost gets forgotten about that, the fact that we went for it, because it would have been the easier or safer option.
My dad missed the winner.
Just keep the ball.
Because he went for a piss.
Really?
Because he was like, right, extra time.
I missed the winner because I was rolling around on the floor. Still celebrating, honestly. I was still celebrating Teddy Sheringham's goal. And I remember looking up and thinking, because I had a drink, Ollie didn't score, did he? we scored again, and then it sort of dawned.
I want to know what level of limbs Roy Keane and Scholes and yourself. Who else was with you where you were sat?
I think it was the three of us together there, yeah.
Yeah, you can imagine. Right. We're going to have a quick ad, and then we'll come back to Henning Berg. So get your questions in for him as well. Ask him anything. Let's have some more questions for a treble winner. Today's podcast is brought to you by Spitch. Spitch is a free fantasy football game that's available to anyone aged 18 or above in the UK and Ireland. Spitch is a great app because it allows you to enter pitches every single week. You don't need to be planning for the entire season. You can do it week by week and win cash prizes each week as well. And it's not just the Premier League. You can enter teams based on the Bundesliga, the Champions League, the Championship, and many more leagues as well. There is currently a special offer available. Go into the app, just like you can see on the screen, and you can win some amazing prizes. Set up your pitch for next weekend's Premier League fixtures, and you'll be in with a chance of winning an Apple Watch, Apple AirPods, gift vouchers, and many more amazing prizes. You don't need to enter any card details. Just click on the link to sign up to the app right now. Remember, you do need to be over 18 years old, and terms and conditions do apply.
After the games.
So thanks to Spitch for sponsoring this podcast. Make sure you get your questions in. Hit that like button as well. Someone is asking about your most feared opponent, I think the player. Sorry, here's Jacob O.C. Who is Henning's most difficult feared opposition player? Do you have a player that you was like, oh, not him again?
I always found it difficult to play against players I did not know too much about.
Okay.
Because Thierry Henry is very difficult to play against, but you know what he was doing all the time. He was playing inside left, he was running in the channel, and he wanted to get in there. Robbie Keane was more difficult because he can meet, he can dribble, he can twist, he can turn. He had good movement in the box. You didn't know where he was. Del Piero was also difficult with Juventus, with the dribble and the timing of his runs.
I know.
He was so good.
Romario was also very, very difficult to get hold of.
When did you play against Romario?
We played him with Norway. We beat him 4-2 at home.
Really?
Don't worry about it.
They had
Romario and Ronaldo up front, playing as me and Ronnie Johnson. It was good.
It was a good pairing.
No contest.
I say this all the time, you know, Ronnie as well. Ronnie was an unbelievable defender.
He was one of the most underrated central defenders. If he did not have so many injuries, he would have three times as many games. He was one of the best in Europe.
Was he rated highly back at home?
Yes. But he can play midfield as well. He played Juventus. He was man-marking Zidane. Zidane didn't do anything apart from scoring a free kick. But in game, he didn't do anything. Ronnie just took him out of the game.
Definitely underrated. I think, you know, we like, I think it was when Roy Keane was doing that thing, wasn't it, about his best 11. I think he did something with Vieira or whatever, and he named Ronnie Johnson. And people go, Ronnie Johnson? Really? He's like, yeah, he was class.
Ronnie was class.
Yeah, he was. Like, say, you know, just had it all. So a few questions coming in. Simon Doyle says, what did you make of Ollie's tenure as manager? What did you make of it all?
I think he changed a lot. I think he got United closer to where they want to be as a football club, as a team, as how they play and how they come across. And also, they got good, better and better results. They finished second. They were in the final of the Europa League. Maybe a little bit disappointed that they could not win it, but Villarreal is not a team that never wins. They've done this before. And the margins in these games are so small anyway. They lost on penalties. So if they had won that game, maybe it could have been different. And I think, overall, I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that, really.
I enjoyed most of the time that he was managing Manchester United as a fan. I enjoyed that. You know, week in, week out, most weeks, it was enjoyable. We had some great results.
We played big games. Yeah. And know we were going to have to go. Like, we would go to the Etihad and you think, we're not just going to try and get a 1-0 loss here. We actually might try and win the game.
Yeah. and it, obviously, the last few months, it all went, you know, it just went wrong.
But I don't think it's fair to remember him for the last two weeks.
No, I agree.
I do think sometimes things build up and sometimes it's difficult to change things. But I do think what he did in his period here, I think it was good for United. And I think he did many, many good things.
I think the way it's gone following him, I think immediately when he was sacked, probably would have struggled getting a job. But I think as time's gone on, I think more and more club owners will be like, get me his number.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, you finished second, third and second in the league. And that's no mean feat when you look at the teams that are in that league. You know what I mean? Finishing above the likes of Chelsea and Liverpool and other teams as well. Only City, wasn't it? So I do think he deserves a little bit more credit and not just the sort of the end game. Aditi Gutsim says, after winning the treble, how did the squad manage to keep away from being complacent?
We had Sir Alex Ferguson as a manager.
That's the answer to that, isn't it?
So it was at United, they are used to winning. They were used to winning. And everybody knew. And Ferguson made sure that everybody knew. And he made sure he had the competition for places in the team. He added to the team. And his personality made sure that everybody tried their very best all the time. If they did not, it would not be a nice place to be.
How did you personally sort of prepare for that 99-2000 season as a European champion, as the treble winner? What was your sort of mentality going into that season?
Just to doing the best we could do. I came back from an injury. We wanted to win the league again. I think I think United won the league quite a few games before the end.
Yeah.
Pissed it, I think the word you're looking for.
I don't know. But I did not play that much that year. So the year after I left. But I did not have a great start to the season myself personally. I was involved in some goals conceded and did not do so well. But I was in and out of the team. I think I played in the quarterfinals of the Champions League again. But yes, it was an up and down season for me, but the team won easily the league.
I mean, you played 37 games in all competitions in that season, so still a big chunk. It's not, you're making it out like you barely played.
it's a long
made
time
the bench
ago.
Once, kind of.
Yeah, I played a little bit. I looked then and thought, well, that's doing yourself a bit of a disservice there.
It was over 100 appearances in 3 years.
Yeah, that's...
You've not just tossed it about here. Like, you've been a major part of everything that's gone on in 3 years. You play 100 games, 30 games a year, more than 30 games a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yes. But it was the first time in my career that I was not playing every game. And it was a little bit difficult. But at the same time, maybe the competition for places was much higher. The level was higher. And but for sure, it was looking back a great time.
I did see another part to his question as well. He was asking now, how would you sort out United's defence? I think he means now. What do you think about United's defence now? Do you think that there is a lot of work to do?
There is work to do, of course. I think every team that are successful is based on a good defence as a team. And it's not only the back four who are defending when you don't have the ball. And to have the understanding of each other, how you want to defend, so everybody understands and read and act together. So they have the same understanding of what they need to do. And that you have a defensive way of playing that suits the players that you have is key. And okay, when you make changes during the season, sometimes that is difficult because it takes time to learn. You can understand it theoretically, but to actually learn it and to do it in the split seconds on the pitch, making the right decisions all the time, is not so easy. That needs practice, and that can take some time.
Following retirement from playing, I think you've had a successful and with unsuccessful periods, I think it's safe to say, in management yourself. Although it's with the Venkies. I reckon the Blackburn thing has to have a big asterisk next to it. The Venkies were there. It was when the Venkies were there.
Yeah.
But you've been successful in Poland. You've been successful in Cyprus. You've actually won titles managing. Not ended so well lately at
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ammonia,
that's the one I was looking for. But do you want to talk to us a little bit about your journey as a manager following retirement?
Yes, I moved back to Norway, and then I do the coaching badges. I was a little bit lucky because I got the chance to do a top league team in Norway, Lyn, a smaller team, academy team, with good young players. I was there for 4.5 years, staying in the league and selling players, which was good. Then I went to another Norwegian team, Lillestrøm, which I played for before for 3 years. They were in a very difficult situation financially, so we needed to sell players, we needed to recruit and develop. So we did not get the best results in the league, but we needed the team or the club to survive. And from being the oldest team to the 3 years later, the youngest team, it was also, we did well. And then I had Blackburn for 2 months, which was a big risk, I knew, when I took the job. But having played there for 7.5 years and have the top time as a player, it's difficult to say no when they ask you. So I knew it would be risky, but it didn't work out. There were too many things inside that club that was not how it should be. I think we leave it like that. And
what was it you said before taking the Blackburn job?
Okay. I've been a little bit on TV sometimes as well, and I did say a few months before that there is no manager with any integrity would take that job. But
and then you took the job.
Okay. It was. I did take the job, but like I said, it was so difficult to say no. And I do think, I thought I had the time to make the changes and to get the people in that I wanted from the staff. I did not, because they were not available when I took the job. It was a good learning experience, I must say. I don't think I was ready as a coach, head coach or manager at that time to take a job like that either. My football views, okay, but as a leader, I don't think I had enough experience to take that job. It was too early. Then I went to Legia Warsaw. We won the league, which they can do, but we did really, really well in Europe. We beat Celtic over 2 games, but got knocked out because one of the players was not registered. Oh. We beat them 6-1 over 2 games, unbelievable. But we won our group in Europa League. We lost to Ajax in the last 32, which was a good thing to do. We won the cup in Poland. So the Legia was a very good time. And then I had 1 year in Videoton in Hungary. We finished second. Could have won the league on the final day, but did not. I had been to Cyprus now for 2.5 years. I do think it was one of the best times for me as a coach, head coach. Omonia is, Cyprus is a small island, but with the players from all over the world, every team has 15 foreign players and most of them are foreign coaches. I think the league is ranked 14th or 15th in Europe.
It's a lot higher than I thought it would be, though.
And we finished first after they have not won the league in 10 years. And then we finished first, we won the league the year after. We played in Europe, Europa League, beating PAOK, playing against PSV and Granada, teams like that. So it was a great experience. And this year in the league, we were not as good as we would like to be. We did not do what United did after they won the treble. We did not do the right things, but this is football and we have to learn from it. And there are many things that affects, but our league results were not so good. We won the Super Cup, we qualified for Conference League, which was good, but we would like to be better in the league. And I honestly think that it's better to leave a job when you've done something good, so I'm not too bad.
That's some serious success, that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about those results, the trophies you've won and the games.
Just glossing
well.
Over winning titles.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll leave there.
First, in 10 years.
You'll smack ground. Celtic around, don't worry about that.
I mean, there's a question come in from Clayton M. He says, I mean, how has life been after retiring from football? Did you stay around the game or focus on family? I mean, you've obviously stayed around the game. You just listed sort of 10 years or whatever well, a bit longer of management. He also says, do you have a Sir Alex story that you'd like to share or that you could share with us?
Football has always been the biggest part, a big interest for me. And even when I finished as a player, I could not imagine not being involved in some part. Maybe be a coach, head coach, manager, scout, whatever. But it's nice to be able to work with something you like really, really well. So I feel very fortunate in this way. And now I've been a coach for, I don't know, 15 years. Yes. So Sir Alex's story, there are a few. Sometimes you get the hair dryer. I had hair when I went to United. And 3 years later, I did not have any more. No, but Sir Alex, he was hard. He was strong. But at the same time, he gave you confidence. Because when you did well, he would do anything for you. And he would help you and he would support you. He gave you confidence. And he was the best manager I've had. And nobody tried anything in the dressing room there. We had some big, big personalities. But everybody knew who was the boss.
Do you ever catch yourself saying a phrase or saying something Fergie would have said?
I don't know. It's such a long time ago, but I'm sure I will say some things in the same, not in the same way, but with the same meaning and with the same, not the philosophy, but in the same way and with the values that he did.
Swearing at someone who's Scottish, isn't it?
I only had Scottish managers when I was in England.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Dalglish, Souness, Fergie.
So it's not yeah.
McLeish, Rangers.
Yeah, so very similar. shall we say
aggressively Scottish?
Yeah, I was thinking carefully what I can say now without offending anyone.
Dalglish is a bit.
He was top.
Yeah,
he came in at halftime. He just didn't need to shout.
He's calmer, isn't he?
He just said, "Why did you do that in that situation when you know that we should supposed to do this?" That was him.
I shouldn't even ask this, but I will. What was it like in 95, winning that title? Even though it's knocking me sick at it now.
No, it was special.
Yeah, because it was, as a United fan, it was horrible. But as a player in that team.
Unbelievable season, because the year before we finished second. Mm. And then going one more better the year after. With a team that nobody, I think, had won the league before. Right. And United could have won it on the final day if they had beaten West Ham away.
Don't remind me.
And we were playing at Liverpool, at Anfield, with Dalglish as a manager.
Oh. And do you know what the worst thing about that is? Did you lose that game?
We lost the game. Because
we all thought, United fans, Liverpool will roll over. They'll let Blackburn win.
Yes.
And we'll beat, and Liverpool, there's a worst way of doing it. Liverpool won. we couldn't. Ludek McCloskey, I'll never forget that man.
No, no one's ever had a better goalkeeper.
Standing ovation when he came back to Ibu the year after.
Yeah, I bet.
all the black mud could eat.
Yeah, honestly, it was tough to take that one. Matt McCaster says, get Henning a game for Paddock next season. Oh, the Paddock. I'm sure Steve's already asked him that, to be honest with you.
He's taking training tonight.
Ed C asks about the youngsters at United. He says Higginbottom, sorry, O'Shea, Brown, etc. What were the youngsters like at Old Trafford United? Were they intimidated by the senior players at all? Can you remember much about the younger players at United?
I remember a few. We had John Curtis, we had Jonathan Greening, Wilson.
Matt Wilson.
Yes. I don't think they were intimidated. Maybe they should have been a little bit more intimidated. I don't know. But with the class of 92 coming up before, it was, you will not have generations like that every year. And they were in the team, and you cannot get all the young players in. So I do think the record United have for bringing young kids through is one of the best. And there is reason for that, because there is a culture, there's a history, and there is a belief that if you go through the academy, you can get into the first team. You don't do that in all the clubs.
It's true. There's a desire from the fan base to see it happen, which doesn't exist everywhere. People aren't asked at a lot of clubs. Like, no. If I said to you, right, okay, before Trent, who was the last Liverpool Academy graduate?
I kind of think, I don't know. Steven Gerrard.
It's pretty much it, isn't it? In terms of internationals, is it Warnock?
Possibly. Whoever's on Sky next week.
But do you know what I mean? Like, and there's no pressure on them to produce academy players, whereas it is the case at United.
Yeah. A few people in the comments. Oh, someone said David Batty had won the league with Leeds. Yes, thank you for reminding us of that. Yeah, as well. Beating United to the league as well. Thanks for that, Monday. I know, Monday.
Boo.
When you watch United in a minute, Henning, how do you feel about it? You still sort of get emotional, or still get sort of annoyed like we do a lot of the time?
Yeah, you follow them more as a fan.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as a coach, you look at the game tactically and mentally and physically and everything, just to see what they are doing, how they are doing it, what are the difference, who do they play against, how do they play. So there is a little bit more thinking into it, but you get emotional with the results, you get emotional with the performances, and of course you want them to win.
Do you think, or how far do you think United are off from where we need to be at the minute? Do you think it is going to take a lot of time to get back to challenging for the top honours?
Yeah, football is a strange game.
Yeah,
you can go from far away to close the gap very quickly, and then it can also take many, many years. It's difficult to say. You look at Liverpool winning the league at the counter the year before, and then last year they were too far behind City. And now, where are they now again? I think if you compare United team with City and with Liverpool, you would think they are a good distance behind. Is it possible to catch up? Is it realistic to catch up? They need to improve, that is for sure.
Yeah, it feels like a long, long, long way off at the moment. But like I said, sometimes it can be a couple of players really transform everything. You know, a defender or even a goalkeeper might make you attack better, and suddenly you're scoring more goals. And
yeah, and they finished second. Was it last year?
Season before.
Yeah. Santa Notch again has asked, who else at United did you recognise as someone who had the potential to become a coach or a manager? Were the players that you thought, he's going to go on and he's going to be a coach or a manager?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, but when you are a player, you have some players who are more discussing football, more into it, but at the same time maybe don't want to be a coach, don't want to be a manager. Gary Neville was always into football and discussing and have opinions. And he's done fantastic on Sky and as a pundit. And he tried assistant coach with England, and then, okay, with Valencia it's difficult because you get there and you are in the middle of season, and it's not easy for anybody and not for a foreign to come either. So maybe he will have a go again, I don't know.
He's doing politics in a minute. He's doing... Been on
I don't think he'll do it again.
Keir Starmer and doing some speeches, but someone who obviously at the time was always showing that sort of side of things.
Yeah, he, yes, but okay. example scores of football clever, one of the most intelligent football players on the pitch, and talking about it as well. So he can read the game, he can see the game. Does he want to be a manager? Does he want to be there every day working and working to improve and to develop and to make teams better? It's a different job than being a player, completely different.
Paul Madison, who's been a member of the first team 16 months, says, two questions. Who are some of your greatest influences on being a manager and coach? And also, would you consider taking any kind of role with United if you were asked?
My biggest influence, of course, Sir Alex Ferguson. It goes without saying, as a leader, the way he worked, the way he kept everybody going in the same direction, the way he made everybody do their best.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If they didn't, you would know. If you did, you also know. So his man management was the best I have experienced, but also difficult when you are a player because it's not a rosy life. It's not everything is easy. It's high demands. But he was also there to help you and to support you and to make you the best you can be, to guide you as a leader. I think Kenny Dalglish as a football brain was great. His football understanding and how he wanted us to play and how we should do things. He simplified the game in a very, very nice way. I had some Drillo Olsen, the Norwegian national team coach. He had a spell with Wimbledon, but did not work out. But with the national team, he was top. I learned a lot about how to play as a team, offensively and defensively. And in Norway, we have maybe the best club coach ever, Nils Arne Eggen. Unfortunately, he died earlier this year. God bless him. But he took Rosenborg to Champions League 7 or 8 years in a row. He won the league 12 years, I think, total. And the way they played, with the philosophy, the structure, how they wanted to play, attacking play, is something special. And I think these guys have been the biggest influence.
I just remember that Norway team around that time in the sort of early to mid-90s especially, because they played England around, was it the World Cup qualifier for 94, I think?
Yes.
And England sort of had a bit of a rude awakening.
What was on about with Gary Pallister having a shitter? Good up against, was it Flo?
I think that was in when we played them at home. I think we beat them there 3-1 or something, I'm not sure. But I did not play in that game. I played at Wembley when we drew 0-0. I came on, actually. I was not supposed to come on. I was on the bench, and the central defender got the elbow from Ian Wright. So he was on the floor, and our doctor ran onto the pitch and asked him, you know, as doctors do, what is the score? Because he need to check if it was okay. And he said it was 0-0. But because England has been dominating and had so many chances, the doctor thought England were in the lead. So he
That's
said.
That's how
he's
fucking him off.
No, he said nil-nil. They took him off. I came on. I played well. Who was at the game? Kenny Dalglish.
Well,
needed a right back. 3 weeks later, I was at Blackburn training, trial, got the contract.
So you never know. If the doctor had bothered to look at the scoreboard,
correct.
It might have been a different career trajectory for you. Mickey Brick says, what did it feel like to clear it off the line against Inter?
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the chant that the fans were singing? The
no.
The A-team chant?
No.
All right. Do you remember that?
You don't need no.
No. But, Henning Berg, you remember? Right, okay, that was this. That was the 18th.
Something
that
happened in Jay's car on the way home. Anyway,
it definitely happened. Get involved in the chat if anyone remembers that. Henning doesn't, but I'm sure I do. Unless it was just me on my own singing that one.
I think it was. Okay. I think you're on your own.
Right. Okay. Well, at least I got it to you today. Anyway,
were you playing against R9 in that game?
Against who?
Original Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Yes.
How hard did you play against?
No, he was.
Pretty good.
He was a good player. maybe it was not his best time, but he was still very, very good. And okay, he likes to dribble, but I've seen him better with the speed and the power that he had maybe a year or two earlier. But okay, experienced and very, very good player.
Unbelievable.
A couple of people asked about that Brazil game, the 4-2 game. Mm. Just, I know you mentioned it earlier briefly, but what was that like to play against that team? Because you just mentioned there some of the greatest players of all time. Like,
was it centre-half from Mario Ronaldo?
I mean, you know.
No. Up all night throwing up.
World Cup winners and just phenomena and two of the best players I've ever seen anyway.
Brazil, they won the World Cup in 94. And this was 3 years later. We played them at home. They have not lost a game ever since. And then we played them a friendly before the World Cup the year after. So our coach also said, okay, the first 10 minutes, high pressure. And we were playing as Ronaldo and Romario. And we were going like, you sure?
Was it you and Ronnie? Yeah.
So at the halfway line, 10 minutes against Brazil at home, it
could have got absolutely shredded against
them. But we had Tor André Flo up front. I think he scored one or two. Egil Østenstad, who played for Southampton, scored one. So we had a good team. And it was Flonaldo after the game.
Not nice. What, when you're watching, obviously you're watching a lot of football, but in terms of sort of players now, who are the players that you admire, the players that you look at and you go, that's someone either I wouldn't like to play against or I'd like to play alongside, is the players that sort of stand out? It could be United or anywhere else, really. Just to get your opinion on him.
Top players?
Yeah.
It's difficult. There are many good players. You see our Norwegian guy, Haaland.
Yeah. He knows where the net is, doesn't he?
No, but you see his age, you see how many goals he scored, you see how he scores his goals, and you see his mentality on the pitch. Left foot, right foot, headers, speed, power, good timing of runs, good finishing, reading. Is not normal. He's not normal.
I'm scared because there's rumours. There's always rumours and reports that maybe he's going to end up at City, and it's just like him in that team.
Yeah, City are doing well because they
could score a couple of goals from.
They
don't have a striker, City. So yeah. How will they be with a striker?
That's the
especially point. Someone that's that style of striker. I think he thrives on pacing behind. I don't know if City are going to give him that pace in behind because everyone sits too back against him.
He will kill you with space in behind, but you don't need it because his movement in the box is exceptional for such a young guy to make the movement that he does, the power that he has, is not normal. The only thing that can stop him is injuries.
Yeah, I mean, he's missed a few games this season, hasn't he? But it's not like he's injury prone or anything like that. He's missed one or two. But yeah.
I mean, his firmware updated.
It's just, I don't know. Yeah, him going at City doing all right, aren't he, without him?
For fuck's sake.
I'm throwing him into the mix.
See, I'm thinking.
It does look like that's going to happen. I just
when
feel
is,
like.
Is it going to work when he's lacking space in a box? And Henning's like, yeah, be fine. Fuck.
<'Cause> he could be,
it was the only hope I had.
It looked like we were going to get him at one point, didn't it, when he went from.
Ole had him in Molde.
Yeah.
He took him from a young team, a small team, I mean, when he was very young. And he gradually gave him. He did really well with him, because if you put him in play all the time, you will kill him. But he made a step up.
He did the same with Mason.
Yeah,
he did really well.
Brought them into the team.
But then he went to Red Bull Salzburg, which was the correct club for him to go. A team that is dominating, best in the league, but not in the top five league in Europe.
Yeah,
and he just scored so many goals. And then to Dortmund, a team that was crying out for a number nine, who had everything else, but not the number nine, and scored so many goals still. So where he will go in the summer, we don't know yet.
Yeah, I think, well, it won't be United, will it? We missed our chance there. I think maybe we could have got him a few years ago. Those rumours weren't in the book. I don't know. It didn't happen. Like you say, he went to Dortmund, and now he's going to be massively in demand. I just wanted to ask you about, obviously, you know, you spoke about all the great players you played alongside and great managers you've sort of worked under and everything. In terms of like your philosophy when it comes to your coaching, your sort of management, is there a certain way that you like to play? Is there a certain style you have, or is it just win matches, basically.
No, if you don't know how you want to play, you will not win matches.
Yeah.
And okay, some play defense and transition, and some play dominating games, and some play possession games, and some are more direct. I think our teams has been more direct and possession based, not back to front, but to play through the lines and to play as quick as we can, to take advantage of the spaces when they are there, or to develop and to create the spaces to open teams up. But when you have a team that is top four and want to win the league, you are playing more dominating games and defensive transitions than you are if you have a team that's going to stay in the league. If you've got a team that stay in the league, you are more defense and protect and then play the quick transition. So if you are have a team that is in the middle, you have to do both.
Yeah.
It's sometimes a little bit more difficult. But throughout the game, in a normal league, when you have even games, even teams, you have to do all these things during the 90 minutes anyway. It just depends on what is your speciality, what is the best. But our teams have been more direct, playing quickly through the lines. Defensively, we can press high, we can defend high when we have to against smaller teams. If we play really good teams, or when we play in Europe, when you play PSV in Europe with Omonia, you cannot press high. Yeah. You have to defend deep, you have to play on the transitions. We played Olympiacos in the Champions League playoffs to get to Champions League. We lost 2-0 away, 0-0 at home, and we had to go for it, so we had to press more. But okay, against that team, you gamble a lot more, and that is not easy. But yes, we are more zonal defense and more. But what I do believe most in is that everybody has a clear understanding on how they should play, and that you can get specialized people with special quality in different position that can make sure that the team is much better than the 11 individual players. And if you have the same understanding, then you are always one step ahead of the opposition, and you can play quicker and you can play better. But if you don't have good players, it's not going to be possible.
What's the better feeling for you? Is it winning as a manager or as a player?
There's not many that have done both, is
there? Yeah, but you've won titles as a manager and you've won titles as a player. Which...
Yeah, but when you are a player, you are younger. Yeah. Everything is new. You are on the pitch yourself. You work hard. You are on the pitch doing it. So it's difficult to beat that. But when you are a manager or a head coach, you have the responsibility for everything. You are more inside of the planning and the training and the development and the recruitment. With everything. So I don't know what is best or worst. This is a fantastic feeling when you win.
Arvid Moen, who's been a member of the first team for 16 months, says, Jay, ask Henning if Norway could have won the 1998 World Cup if they had met teams other than Italy.
Yes.
Okay. For those of us who don't know, and I include myself in this conversation, if I'm being really honest, what is that? Is just a case of...
No, we honestly believed that we had the possibility to go all the way. Sweden took bronze in 94. Mm-hmm. We played in 94 as well, not so good. But playing Italy in the last 16, I think it was not the best team to play them. We beat Brazil in the group stage, so if you can beat Brazil, they played in the final. They lost to France in the final.
Yeah.
So of course it was possible. We had a very good team. Ronnie was there, Stig Inge Bjørnby from Liverpool. We had Rekdal in midfield, Mikkeland. We had Tor André Flo. We had Egil Løsenstad. We had many good players. Many, many good players. And of course, we had the chance to do better than what we did. But okay, you beat Brazil in the group stages. To go through from the group in the World Cup is not bad for Norway. But Italy was not our favorite team to meet. We played them in the World Cup 94. We lost. We ended the group in 94 on the same amount of points as Italy, on the same amount of goal difference. They had scored one more and conceded one more. That's why they went through the group and we did not. Italy played the final.
Because of the goal scored.
That was difficult to take.
Yeah, such fine margins. Such a good team, as you said. Matt McCaster says, Henning's thoughts on 1991. We've already asked that. We covered that straight away. That's early doors. Come on, Henning said that, you know.
I think give us some credit.
Yeah, come on. That was one of the first questions. Just a few emojis. Loads of people are sort of complimenting, saying they miss you, they miss Ronnie as well. At United, I think we can all agree with that. It must have been a bit strange as well to play alongside someone so many different sort of, well, for... club and for countries, playing at Manchester United. What was that like? Because I presume you didn't expect that to happen, and then you end up playing alongside someone both at Manchester United and for your country.
Yes. We were good friends with Ronnie off the pitch as well, so it did help. We spent a lot of time together. Ronnie is a quiet guy, but one of the most competitive guys. Anything, if it's a competition,
yeah,
he will do everything, anything to win. And right, most of the times he will win. He's an unbelievable guy, but a nice lad and honest guy. And I think he's in coaching now in Norway in the second, third division. He just started after being with an academy for a while now. So it's good that he's back with on the football again. But when you play together for so many times, you start to know each other better. And I think Sir Alex saw us when we played for Norway together and maybe thought, because Ronnie came to United before me, and then maybe he thought we can play well together at United as well. But Palace was always number one choice. Yeah, was always the number one choice. And then Ronnie sometimes played midfield, or I played, or Ronnie played. And Ronnie was a lot injured.
Kind of did all right, though, didn't you? Didn't they? Did all right for us.
I mean, second by a ball air, a treble, and then winning it at a canter. Yeah,
yeah, it's not too bad.
Not a bad 3-year period.
Not really.
It was good.
I mean, yeah, it's literally just...
It was good. That's one way of putting it, yeah.
Yap's 3 years at United is... Just, you know, three back-to-back titles. Yours was only a second away from being that same level. Unreal.
Yes, but I was not one of the main players, leaders in the team.
Still played 100 games. Not
having I know.
Yeah, and look, when you mention all those defenders that we had at the time, you know, it didn't matter if it was you or Ronnie or Yap Stam or, you know, I know it was a little bit earlier when it was Gary Pallister, that was just... You know, it's just elite defenders, isn't it? No matter who you're rotating with, and I think that's part of the reason, as you mentioned earlier, the success that we had because of such a strong squad.
Strong squad. And you imagine the midfield we had in front of us. David Beckham, Paul Scholes, Roy Keane, Ryan Giggs. It's not the worst people to have in front of you.
Not too shabby, is it?
It's all right.
It makes me sad, though, Steve, when we talk to people like Henning and we go over all these teams and the success and the, you know, how gutted we were when we lost the league by a point and... You know, we only won the title that
fuming
season.
Not,
yeah,
good.
We only won
fuming
the title that season.
Fucking mean we not win the league.
Yeah, like we've not won the Champions League. It's not that great a season. And now it's like it's
there were seasons that we won a league and didn't go to a parade because we'd only won the league. Just say that in your head out loud.
It's true.
Like the other 19th title win, no one really give a fuck. 20th, everyone celebrated a little bit, didn't they? We got clear of Liverpool, but like 19th titles, about fucking 12 people turned up. Like, yeah, nice one, you dicks.
Thomas Wood says, Henning comes across very humble. You do come across as very humble, Henning. He seems to be sort of matter of fact.
I can see a serious edge. I can see someone dropping a bollock in training.
No, I'm not disputing that. I mean about the achievements, I think.
There's an absolute death stare in there, I reckon.
So what's next for you, Henning? What's on the horizon, obviously?
I don't know. In this game, you don't know. It's difficult to plan the future long term. But I like to be a coach, head coach. I've been there for 15 years now. I'm sure I have opportunities to continue. So, but at the same time now, to be honest, I'm enjoying some extra time with my family and my kids, which is nice because when you work away from home, is you don't spend as much time with your family as you normally would like to do. But now, soon, the kids are old enough to do whatever they like, yeah. So it's easier. But it's not bad to have a few months off and then be ready to go again, and we will see.
You doing any extra training, coaching, any courses in the meantime before you get back in the mix?
I will travel and... see some clubs and discuss with some how they do, how they train, what they are thinking, and to discuss some football. I will do a little bit on the TV as well and watch some games and analyze some games, which is good. So when you are working with a club, you don't have time to go into depth and you cannot travel to see people. So I will do that.
See, that's the awesome thing about being a treble winner, isn't it? You just phone up a club and be like, hey, can I come watch training, observe what you're doing? And don't go, fuck off, you weirdo. And they go, yes, I am.
Come on, of course you can. Got any tips? Henny, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And hopefully we'll see you again. If we've not put you off, you can come back on again.
I'm not sure.
Well, okay. It's very honest. Thanks to everyone who got involved as well. We've got some great questions that came in there. Appreciate that. Make sure you are liking and subscribing to the channel. What are you up to this weekend?
Final home game of the season tomorrow. Penultimate game of the season. We fucked it up, Jay.
Go on.
So we're probably just going to finish third now. But we'll finish with two wins. And hopefully we'll be in a new spot next year. Can't say where just yet, but
okay.
Applications are in. Applications are in, and we'll see what happens if we get accepted.
Right, so make sure you're checking out Steve. You can find out what's going on there. Big thanks again to Henningberg, and thanks to everyone who's got involved. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching.
Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.